So we have been discussing the prayers offered by Shukadeva Goswami. So we'll continue with our prayers. Yesterday, what are the prayers that we have seen? Anyone remembers? Of course, you didn't have exam today. Okay, what was the first? Yeah, if you don't remember the prayer, it's okay. But translation is good enough. There is no second mic.
Sukhdev Goswami was offering obeisances to the Lord, who expands himself as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And he operates the nature through the agency of modes. And to approach him, there is no other process other than Bhakti Yoga.
So, what was that verse? Namaparasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadut Bhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shakti Stritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Anupalaksha Vartmani. Correct, right? So after offering his obeisances to the Purushavataras, then what did he do? Lord's reciprocation. How does he Bhuyo namas sad vrijinachide asadam asambhavaya how? Akila sattva murtaye. Then Pumsam puna paramahamsya ashrame vyavastitanam anumrugya dashuse. Okay. Then the third verse, what did he say? No, before that, there is one thing, I think. What was the verse before that? About how his power and sweetness coexist in the Supreme Lord. Namo namastestu rushabhaya sattvatam vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam Nirasta Samya Atishayena Radhasa Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate Namaha. So he says that how this quality of power and sweetness coexists in the Supreme Personality of God. He enjoys sweet pastimes in his abode. At the same time, he has incomparable prowess. Is it incomparable or uncomparable? Incomparable prowess. Then he described about how to approach this Lord. Any one of the, it's not necessary that one needs to perform all the limbs of devotional service. See, this is the difference between, you may say that Ashtanga Yoga has 8 limbs. And Jnana Yoga has so many limbs and like that. But there is a difference between these other processes having multiple limbs and devotional service having multiple limbs. In Ashtanga Yoga, these 8 limbs are all have to be performed and at appropriate times. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, any one of these limbs is potent. So one need not perform all the limbs. So at least the most important limbs, the bare minimum one has to do. But then for the rest of the time, one can perfect practice of devotional service by performing any one of the limbs. One need not perform all the limbs together. So that's what was indicated here. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yad ikshanam, yad vandanam, yad shravanam, yad arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham, tasmai shubhadra shravase namo namaha. Then he said, that even a jnani who desires to merge in the impersonal Brahman, he needs to perform worship of the personal form of the Lord. This was indicated. Vichakshana yat charanopasadanat sangam vidasyo ubhayatontaratmanah vindanti hi brahmagatim gataklamaha tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Then he says, what to speak of jnanis? All the practitioners, for them to attain success, it is possible only if they worship the personal form of the Lord. Tapasvino, Danapara, Yashasvino, Manasvino, Mantravita, Sumangala, Kshemam Navindanti Vinaya Darpanam, Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. So, he had just left here. Brahmaji, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just before he speaks the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, he asks, my dear Lord, what is the kind of process, what sadhana should I perform to worship you, by doing which I can protect myself from lethargy, that is the influence of mode of ignorance, and at the same time I can also protect myself from pride, the influence of mode of passion. So these two become an obstacle, because the mode of passion brings the doer mentality, and mode of ignorance brings one the problem of lethargy and not taking responsibility for that. So here he is asking that how can I save myself from this influence of these two lower modes, that is mode of ignorance and mode of passion. So how do I do that? So the Lord gives a very cryptic answer, which is the fourth of the Chatushloki. Etavadeva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanah anvaya vyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. So the Supreme Lord says, my dear Brahmaji, find out that process by doing which you will get all the results, and by neglecting which you will not get any result. And that process which you can perform any time, it can be performed by anyone at all places at all times. Find out which process it is. If you perform that sadhana, then you will not be touched by the influence of the lower modes. So this is called Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam. Anvaya means by performing that process it should give result. Vyatireka means non-performance of that process should not give any result. So find out which process it is and perform that process. So in that explanation there are many proofs that how only the path of bhakti fits this definition. So now we are going to do a small exercise, which we will do it again at the during the ninth chapter also. So let's take this verse. Tapasvino danapara yashasvino manasvino mantravida sumangala kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasme subhadra shravase namo namaha. This verse, I will give one explanation of this tap, anvaya vyatireka, and then from the next verses onwards you can try. So this verse says, all these practitioners, they may perform tapasya, but if there is no worship of the Supreme Lord, then it will not give result. So non-presence of bhakti is not giving result. So which means bhakti fulfills the vyatireka criteria. When bhakti is not there is no result. Whereas this tapasya, charity, karmakand and jnanakand, all these things, their limbs are performed but still result is not coming. So which means they fail the anvaya criteria, because performance of these practices is not yielding result. So this is the difference between anvaya and vyatireka. So bhakti is not there and there is no result. So therefore bhakti passes the vyatireka criteria. And all this tapasya and jnana, karma, yoga, etc., they fail the anvaya criteria. Because even though those limbs are there, but still the result of performing those limbs is not achieved. Is it clear? See, anvaya means presence of that element should give the result irrespective of whatever. Just like I give this example, when you are making, someone is making, let's say, suji halwa, and someone eats that suji halwa and he likes it very much. So he wants to know, hey, how is this preparation so sweet? I would like to know. So he sees how this item is made. Sugar is there, suji is there, ghee is there, some water is there, some dry fruits are there. Everything is there. So that is being made. So there are two ways of testing what gives sweetness to this preparation. There is a direct way. What is the direct way? Taste each one of those ingredients and see which is sweet. You taste suji, it's not sweet. So you conclude that sweetness is not from suji. Likewise, you taste everything else. And when you taste sugar, it tastes extremely sweet. So you conclude that, okay, the sweetness of this preparation must come from sugar. That's the anvaya method. The vyatireka method is that first make the same preparation without suji and taste it. It still tastes sweet. So you conclude that sweetness is not due to suji. Then you include suji and remove ghee and make the same preparation. You taste it, it tastes sweet. So you conclude that sweetness of this preparation is not due to ghee. Like that you, every time you subtract one item, different item, till it tastes, it does not taste sweet. And whatever item was not put in that particular preparation, that is the cause of sweetness. That is the vyatireka. Direct and indirect. Anvaya vyatireka abhyam. So, in these practices, tapasvino dana parayashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala, it is seen that kshemam na vindanti, which means the result is not coming. Vinaya darpanam, when it is not offered to the Supreme Lord, or when it is without worshipping him. Vinaya darpanam means without worshipping. That worship is the ingredient of bhakti. When the ingredient of bhakti is not there, all these other practices did not give any result. Which means bhakti is that sugar. The suji halwa was not sweet. When that sugar was left out, it was no longer sweet. Okay, so therefore bhakti fulfills that indirect criteria, vyatireka criteria, whereas all these others, tapasya, charity, etc., they fail the anvaya criteria. Their presence still is not giving the result. Tapasya is performed, but still the goal of tapasya is not attained. Varanashram is performed, but still the goal of varanashram is not attained. Jnana Yoga is performed, but still the goal of Jnana Yoga is not attained. So therefore all these other classes fail the anvaya criteria. Is it clear? Okay. Okay. Of course, this is the next verse. Kirada Hunandra. We will do it, but you all know this verse. So just to do this exercise. Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha adira shumba yavanaha kasadaya yenyecha papa yadapashraya shraya shudyanti tasme prabhavishnave namaha. You all know this verse. It says that whatever may be one's level of impurity, but if he takes the shelter of a devotee and performs devotional service, then he can be purified. Okay. Here, what is the goal? What is the goal? Purification is the goal. What is the means? Shelter of pure devotee and performing bhakti is the means. Bhakti is the means. Purification is the goal. Is the goal attained? Yes. So which means goal is attained by the presence of bhakti. So what is the bhakti fulfills? Another criteria. Presence of bhakti has produced result of purification. Okay. Like that. So we saw tapasvino dana paran. Before that, let's take this verse, the previous verse. Vichakshana yat charanopasadanat sangam yudasyo bhavitavantaratmanah vindanti brahmasukam gataklamas tasmai shubhadra shravase namo namah. What is the goal? Brahman liberation is the goal. What is the means? Jnana along with bhakti. Okay. Jnana along with bhakti. But here it is clearly mentioned that yat charanopasadanat vindanti brahmasukam brahmagatim gataklama. Because of worshipping the lotus feet, he is attaining that goal. Okay. So does he attain the goal? Yes. So what does this prove? Bhakti. Bhakti fulfills the anvaya criteria because presence of bhakti is creating the result. Okay, like that. So there are many proofs given in that 9th chapter of 2nd Canto Chatushloki where based on various quotes from Bhagavatam and other Puranas, the Acharyas establish that only bhakti is the cause of success of all the other processes, and without bhakti no other process, how much ever scrutinizingly it may be done, it will not give any result. That is the point. Okay, so let's move ahead. This is the next prayer that he is offering. Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumbaya vanah kasadaya yenye cha papaya dapashraya shraya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. How many of you have already memorized this verse? Practically everyone. Okay. Hey guys, tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. I offer respects to the Lord of inconceivable power. So I will ask a question at the end of this explanation. You have to answer. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha. So all these people, even though they may be staying in particular geographical location, or may not, but Sri Krishna Chaitanya in one of his explanations, he explains that these are various combinations of pratiloma combinations. You know, there is anuloma and pratiloma. Not anulom vilom. So there is anulom and pratiloma when it comes to marriage. A favorable union and an unfavorable union. So there are many, many kinds of unfavorable union. So the very basic criteria is that the male should be of a higher varna than the female. But that's a very, very generic criteria. But there are many more specific criteria which have to be fulfilled. So that gives rise to many permutations and combinations of pratiloma. So all these different kinds of pratiloma combinations actually lead to these various kinds of tribes. Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumbaya vanakasadhi. Like that. That's how he explains. The fact is that they all are that kind of union attracts not so pious living entities as a product of that union. So yenyecha papa, it attracts a very sinful soul to that particular union. So people born out of such union are considered generally very sinful, not because they are born from that union, but because such a union attracts very sinful living entities who have very sinful karma. Okay, so one should not feel that just because I was born in this family I have become sinful. It's not like that. Only because one already had such inclinations to facilitate that, the law of nature facilitates that. That's all. Yenyecha papa. So all these kinds of sinful people, yad apashraya ashraya, by taking shelter of devotees who take shelter of the powerful Lord, shudyanti, they become purified of their prarabdha karmas. It's because of their prarabdha karmas that they are called kirata, huna, andhra, pulinda, pulkasha and so on. But when they take shelter of devotees who take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are purified of their prarabdha karmas. Which means, those sinful impressions which are which they have accumulated because of that unfavorable birth, those impressions are slowly wiped out because of the practice of bhakti. So therefore they are no longer attached to eating meat because those impressions are gone. They are no longer attached to drinking. They are no longer attached to unholy association with women and so on. All those kinds of unfavorable impressions are wiped out because of their practice of bhakti. So even though it's not that their father and mother change, that way the prarabdha karma is not destroyed. But because of their prarabdha karma, their natural inclinations which are there, due to which they took birth in that particular family, and due to that association, those impressions may have been more strengthened because of that unholy association. All that is wiped out by the practice of bhakti. So if you see their family, it may seem like, if all the members are like this, then this person, the son will also be like that only. But if you see the son, then you will see that how is it that this son is so different from all the family members. It seems like such an anomalous birth in this family. So which means, in that way, that is the meaning of prarabdha karma getting destroyed. It's not that one fine morning he finds out that he has different father, different mother, different body. Not like that. And also according to body, what does it mean that the prarabdha karma is destroyed? It means that all the particular diseases or lifespan and everything which is allotted for that particular body, that changes. That does not mean he will never get diseased in his life, he will never get misery in his life. That does not mean. That is personally orchestrated by Krishna. It's not a product of his karma anymore. It's a product of Krishna personally ensuring that, okay, this suffering is good for him, it will bring him closer to me. This happiness is bad for him, it will take him away from me, so I will not give it to him. So therefore, one should not say that, oh, the same material body is there, so prarabdha karma is not destroyed. It's not like that. So when anyone takes birth with that particular body, the lifespan and the kind of diseases he will get and everything is actually fixed. But when one takes up to devotional service and starts practicing it, that is destroyed. But that does not mean he will not get any suffering or happiness. That suffering or happiness is personally orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. And the principle is not his karma. The principle is whether this will bring him closer to Krishna's lotus feet or take him away from his lotus feet. This is very clearly described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We have studied. So that is the meaning of prarabdha karma getting destroyed. That does not mean that next day he finds, you know, he has become three shades more fairer and more beautiful. Not like that. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, therefore the whole world politics should be guided by devotees of the Lord. The politicians need not worry about their post, as the devotees have no desire for post. Therefore, by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, a great change can happen in the world situation. Just by kirtanam, all the misunderstandings between nations will vanish. Then people can think about going back home, back to Godhead. This was the faith that Prabhupada had in kirtan. Even for us, you know, we may be wondering, just by kirtanam, Prabhupada says, misunderstandings between nations will vanish, Prabhupada says. As devotees, we may think that we like kirtan, it will purify us. But how many of us would have the conviction to suggest kirtanam as a way to resolve national conflicts? United Nations. So, but because we may not be able to logically present it. Many times that which cannot be logically so well presented, but if presented by a person who has that kind of conviction, you know, it can make sense. And Prabhupada had, of course, he had the proofs to show also. He practically had disciples from so many nationalities coming together and dancing and singing. There is no disqualification in bhakti. All we need to do is to take shelter of a pure devotee. This is the most important thing. Also, a spiritual master can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world. Therefore, by the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone can preach the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita all over the world. But however, most degraded people can be purified because the Lord is all powerful. There is no consideration of birthright in bhakti. So one should not say that only particular kind of people will take up to bhakti. That's not proper understanding. Of course, people with particular kind of conditionings we may be able to reach to because of our own, the way we grew up and we were taught. We may be able to make an impact on particular kind of people. But we should never say that, oh, this person will never take up to Krishna consciousness. Then we have misunderstood the science of bhakti. So we can think, oh, I will not be able to create an impact in this person's life. That is okay, that is valid. That's a valid understanding. But to think that, oh, this person cannot take up to bhakti, that's an improper understanding. Because this verse says that, however sinful a person may be, he can take up to bhakti. That's the right understanding. So no person is disadvantageous when it comes to taking up to bhakti. It all depends on compatibility of some sort. Maybe from the same nationality. I remember just this, today is Tuesday. So Sunday I went to meet one of my old friends, very old college friend. We are like good family friends. You know, his parents knew my parents and all that. But somehow, we both took up to Krishna consciousness together. But at some point, he left. But before leaving, he had created a lot of sensation at home because of his immaturity. And they were like really anti-ISKCON. So because of which, at that time I was not into ISKCON. Like, I had just tried it out for some time and it was not very compatible for me. So they used to tell me, you tell him why he's acting so fanatically like that. So I used to preach to him, you know, don't be so fanatic. Be nice to your parents and all that. And later, I joined. And they became really anti about me, you know. But somehow, over a period of time, things changed. He got married and settled down. So now that he was in safe position, and also they also got retired, and they stayed, you know, Dvidesham. They stay in, their native is Dvidesham. So father, after retirement, took full-time service. From morning to night, he would be doing only services to the Supreme Lord. So he became very, very devotionally inclined. Mother would also assist. So they became like very much transformed. So from that time on, they had a desire to, everything changed. They wanted to meet me, and this time when they came, especially they were in Mumbai, no one to speak to, and no one speaking the same language. So when I went and met them, you know, they were like so eager, you know, speaking like that. So why I'm speaking this? I forgot. Sometimes, you know, when situations are also sometimes when it's incompatible, then, you know, you cannot make an impact. But when sometimes situations become compatible, then you can make, you know, great impact. You know, father was literally in tears, you know, when he saw me, out of, you know, joy. But the same person, when, you know, few years back, you know, he was like so much angry. He was thinking that I was influencing my friend to stay in ISKCON, like that. So the point is, the whole preaching thing, in one sense, one of the main factors in preaching, of course, purity is the force. But having said that, it's also, you know, a mutual compatibility of some sort. You know, here it was in a different land, same language, and prior, you know, acquaintance. That was the compatibility factor. So that's why when people go to United States, Indians go to United States, the statistics says that the number of people taking up to ISKCON in the United States or foreign land is more, because they are looking for that, you know, some compatible culture, and the ISKCON temples provide that. So when that compatibility is there, then they take up to it very easily, like that. Okay. So then Shukadeva Goswami continues. Sayesha Atmatma Vatamadishwaras Traimayo Dharma Mayastapomayah Gatavyalika Rajashankaradibur Vitarkya Lingo Bhagavan Prasidatam. So he says, Sa Esha Adishwarah. He alone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atma, Atmavatam. He is worshipped as the Atma by the Jnanis and Yogis. Atmavatam are the Yogis and Jnanis. Atma. He is worshipped as the Atma by the Yogis and Jnanis. Traimayah. He is worshipped by the knowers of the Vedas. How do the knowers of Vedas worship him? As Yajna book, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. So the Karmis worship the Supreme Lord as Yajna book, as the person who accepts the oblations that are offered in the sacrifice, and in return gives them the result of that sacrifice. And the Jnanis worship him as Tapobhuk, as the person who is to be pleased through their austerities, so that he can give in return liberation. And Bhuktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the yogis worship him as Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the super soul who is all pervading. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, that's how the devotees worship Krishna. So the devotees worship Krishna as the most benevolent personality. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. So therefore, they want a relationship with that person in return. Gyatva Mam Shantim Ruchati. One who knows that I am that same personality which the karmi is worshipping him for fulfilling his desires through performance of those sacrifices. And I am the same personality that the jnani is worshipping as the person who needs to be fulfilled by performance of his austerities to get liberation. And I am the same person which the yogi is worshipping as the Paramatma within the heart. And I am the same person which the devotee is worshipping, being attracted by my benevolent nature with a desire to establish a relationship with me. When one understands that I am the same person who fulfills all these four roles, one who understands this, he will be peaceful. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So same thing is mentioned here. Saesha Adishwaraha, he alone is the Supreme Lord. Atma Atmavatam, he is worshipped as the Atma by the Jnanis and Yogis. Traimayaha, he is worshipped by the knowers of the Vedas. Dharmamayaha, the followers of Dharma worship him. Tapomayaha, the performers of austerities worship him. Bhagavan Vitarkyalingo Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibhi Prasidatam. He says, may that Lord Vitarkyalingo, whose qualities cannot be known, Gatavyalikair, even by those free of deceit, like whom? Ajashankaradibhi, like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Prasidatam. May that unknowable Lord be pleased with me. So both Sri Vaishnava Thakura and Prabhupada mentioned, Gata Vyalikair, free from deceit, means devotees. Because rest all the practitioners worship the Supreme Lord to get something else. So when I try to please you to get something else other than friendship with you, which means for me, that particular thing which I am trying to get is more valuable than you. So all my efforts to please you are to get that valuable thing and not you. So it is deceit. But if I try to please you to get your relationship, then that is not deceit. Because I am trying to please you to get you. So therefore, devotional service, pure devotional service is the only path, or pure devotional motive is the only motive which is free of deceit. Where we are trying to please the Lord so that he gets pleased, that's all. Because he is so wonderful, we want to establish a relationship with him. So all our efforts to please him and the success of all that endeavors if Krishna is pleased. We don't want anything in return. We want that relationship with the Lord in return. So therefore, Gata Vyalikar, free of deceit, means devotees. So here he says, Gata Vyalikar Ajashankaradibhi Vitarkyalingo, that Lord who even those devotees who are free of deceit, like Brahma and Shiva, cannot understand, may that Lord be pleased with me. So this is Vishnu Chakravarti's explanation. Prabhupada's explanation is different. He says, Gata Vyalikar means devotees. There it is the same. Vitarkya Lingo means can be understood. Prabhupada is the exact opposite meaning. So according to Prabhupada's explanation, he says, those devotees who are free of deceit, like Brahmaji and Lord Shiva, only they can understand you. So Prabhupada gives an exact opposite explanation to Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. But there is no contradiction here. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says that the Supreme Lord is not understood even by those who worship him, being free of deceit, like the devotees, like Brahmaji and Shiva. Even they cannot understand the Supreme Lord. That's Krishna Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. Prabhupada's explanation is, only those devotees who are free of deceit, like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, can understand the Supreme Lord. So this is like a contradiction. But there is no contradiction here. Because, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyaschasmitakvatah. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. So, all these verses indicate that to know the Supreme Lord, it is possible only by bhakti. But the fact is, there is a limit to which even the devotees can understand Krishna. They cannot understand him completely. So, when Krishna Chakravarti translates, he glorifies, it's a glorification of the Lord as being inconceivable even to the devotees. Not completely conceivable even to the devotees. When Prabhupada is translating, he is glorifying the path of devotional service. That only by devotional service can you know the Supreme Lord. But elsewhere Prabhupada also says, even by devotional service one cannot completely know Krishna. So there Prabhupada is speaking about the inconceivability of Krishna, the greatness of Krishna. But here he seems to give an explanation which is glorifying the path of devotional service. So therefore there is no contradiction here. Like that. So this verse says that he is that Supreme Lord, he is worshipped by the Atma, by the Jnanis and Yogis, he is to be worshipped by the knower of the Vedas, the followers of Dharma, the performers of austerities, all of them they worship him, but he can be known only by those devotees who are free of deceit. So, Srila Prabhupada here, mentioning in the purport, he says, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord of all paths, he can only be known by those who are gatavyalikair, that is devotees only. Why is this? Because only a devotee is nishkama. So otherwise, in one sense it is cheating only. So real glorification of Lord means glorifying him as the prayojan. To glorifying him, to glorify the Supreme Lord as the means to attain something else is not real glorification at all. It's a glorification of that something else. Because the Lord is only the means to attain it. He is not the goal. The goal is always superior to the means. But bhakti is the process in which Bhagavan is the goal, prayojan. A relationship with Bhagavan is the prayojan. That is real glorification of Krishna. Rest all karmis, jnanis, yogis are just trying to flatter Krishna to get what they want. That's why it is not free of deceit. Because only the devotee is nishkama, that is, he has no selfish desires. He only desires to please the Lord. But the others, the karma yogis, jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis, have selfish desires, that is, bhukti mukti siddhi kam, sakale ashanta. Those who are without pretensions will naturally choose bhakti yoga. Prabhupada gave the example of Arjuna. Arjuna was, in the beginning Arjuna placed himself as one of those who desire self-satisfaction, for he desired not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. But to make him desireless, the Lord preached the Bhagavad Gita, in which the ways of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga and also Bhakti Yoga were explained. Because Arjuna was without any pretension, he changed his decision and satisfied the Lord by agreeing to fight, and thus he became desireless. So Prabhupada says that anyone who is free of pretensions would naturally choose Bhakti Yoga. Brahma and Shiva are mentioned because they are Sampradaya Acharyas and they are also free of deceit. Gata Vyalikaya. So Prabhupada concludes the purport by telling, the Supreme Lord is the Lord of all parts. That is, all of them can achieve perfection only by worshipping Him. But only the unpretentious devotees can realize Him. So proper realization of the Supreme Lord is possible only by the unpretentious devotees. Others cannot realize Krishna because first thing they don't want to realize Krishna. They want to realize their goal. That they will get. But they will not realize Krishna. And they are not bothered about it also. So one should not think that Krishna is punishing them. He is just giving the principle of Yayatamam Prapadyante is always fulfilled. Whatever you approach me for, I will fulfill that desire. So they approach him for their prayojan, so he gives them the prayojan. Okay. Then he continues. Shriyapatir Yagyapatir Prajapatir Diyampatir Lokapatir Darapatihi Patir Gatishchandaka Vishnisatvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Patihi. So, and this Supreme Lord, he says, is Shriyapati. He is the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune or Lord of Prosperity. Yagyapati, he is the Lord of Sacrifice. Prajapati, he is the Lord of all the citizens. Dhyampati, he is the Lord of intelligence. Lokapati, he is the Lord of all the planets. Dharapati, including earth. Who is Dharapati? Varahadev. So, therefore he is called Mahidhar. Mahi means earth. Mahidhar means one who is holding. So, he is the Lord of all of them, which means all these practitioners, they try to get all their desires fulfilled by pleasing this Pati. But, Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam. But for the Vrishnis, Andakas and Satvatas, which means all the Yadu dynasty, he is Patir Gati. He is the Pati, the means to attain, and Gati, the end. He is the means and end. Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satampati. May that Lord, Satampati means the Lord of all devotees. May that Lord of all devotees be pleased with me. That's what Srila Sukadeva Goswami is praying. May that Lord be pleased with me. Prasidatam me. Prasidatam me. So, if you see throughout these prayers, how Sukadeva Goswami is addressing the Supreme Lord is very instructive. That also indicates his mode of offering these prayers. He is addressing the Lord as Subhadra Shravase. Hearing about whom is very auspicious because he is going to speak about the rest of Bhagavatam. He is going to speak about the Supreme Lord. So he is telling Subhadra Shravase. So many verses again and again. 3-4 verses Subhadra Shravase, Subhadra Shravase, Subhadra. So now he is addressing him as Satampati, the master of all devotees. Prabhavishnave Namaha, as a Lord who is potent of purifying. So indicating that you can purify all the impurities, so you purify all my obstacles also so that I can speak about you. This he will explicitly mention later, but for now he is by the way he is addressing the Supreme Lord, he is implicitly indicating his appreciation of the Supreme Lord, praying for empowerment. That is the theme of these prayers that Shukadeva Goswami is offering. So, Prasida Tamme, here he is indicating. May he be pleased. Okay, pleased and what? And allow me to glorify him. Like that. So Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam. But he may be the means to attain the success for all of them, but for the Yadus, he is the means for attaining the success, and he is success. He is success for them. Establishing a relationship with Krishna is their success. So let me say, okay, what do they wish to attain through that relationship? He says, nothing. Relationship is what we want, that's all. Like that. Sometimes we say that, you know, someone approaches a prime minister and he says that the prime minister asks, what do you want? You know, he somehow tries to please him. And Prime Minister asks, what do you want? And he says, I don't want anything. I want you to just come to my house once. So, but if the Prime Minister has to visit his house, his house has to be really good. Road facility has to be there and everything. You know, that way, you know, we sometimes when preaching, we also tell that, you know, so we want that relationship with Krishna, because when the relationship with Krishna comes, everything else comes. Because that natural desire for everything else is there, we say that. But ultimately, we don't want a relationship with Krishna because along with everything else comes. We want the relationship with Krishna because he is the best person to have a relationship with. Because he is so wonderful, he is so attractive, he is so benevolent, he is filled with all kinds of auspicious qualities that we are really excited to have a relationship with him in one of the mellows. We don't want anything through that relationship. That relationship itself is so fulfilling. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, since Shukadeva Goswami is one of the prominent Gatavyalikas, prominent, you know, one who is free of all these deceitful nature, he is expressing his own realized perception of Krishna. So what is his realized perception of Krishna? Shriya Patir, Yajna Patir, Praja Patir, Dhyam Patir, Loka Patir, Dara Patir, Patir Gatischa Andaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me, Bhagavan Satam Patihi. Like that. Okay, so let's continue. Yadangra vidyana samadhi dautaya dhyana pasyanti hitatvam atmanah vadanti chetat kavayo yataruchaṁ same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam. He says, same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam. May Lord Mukunda be pleased with me. Yad angri abhidhyana samadhi dhautaya. Yad angri, whose lotus feet, abhidhyana, the meditation, samadhi, meditation of the topmost form. Meditation with complete concentration. Yad angri abhidhyana samadhi dhautaya, being purified, being cleansed by concentrated meditation on the lotus feet of this Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhiya anupashyanti. Anupashyanti. They see. Dhiya. Through their intelligence, the wise sages see. What do they see? Hi tattvam atmanaha. Atmanaha tattvam. The truth of Paramatma. This is talking about the yogis. Vichakshanayat charanopasadhanat. Was speaking about the jnanis. Tapasvino, Dhanapara, Yashasvino, Manasvino, all of that spoke about the various practitioners. And here he talks about the yogi specifically. Yadangri abhidhyana samadhi dhautaya. being purified by concentrated meditation on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhiya anupashyanti. These wise sages see through their intelligence. Hi tattvam atmanaha. Atmanaha tattvam. They see, they understand the truth. They realize the truth of Paramatma. Vadanti cha etat kavayo yatarucham. Vadanti cha etat kavayah. But the other so-called wise people, it will stop, don't worry. So he says, Vadanti cha etat kavayo yatarucham. According to their taste or their speculation, different people speculate about, oh, the Lord is like this, Lord is like this, Lord is like this, like that. What they may speculate anything, but this is the understanding of the Vedic scriptures. May that Lord Mukunda be pleased with me. Like that he is praying for the pleasure of the Lord. Vadanti chetat kavayo yatarucham same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam. So this indicates how the Lord, even the yogis, for attaining, for realizing the Paramatma feature of the Lord, they have to worship the personal form of the Lord, Bhagavan. So some form of Bhagavan worship is absolutely vital for all these practitioners. That's what is indicated here. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, a yogi, after strenuous effort to control his senses, may attain samadhi and see the super soul. But the devotee attains the samadhi just by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. And what is the mood of the devotee? Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budau. Kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. He is very humble. He does not think that by his meditation he is able to control the Supreme Lord. But he thinks, my dear Lord, I am so unfortunate, I have fallen. Can you please pick me up and put me as a dust at your lotus feet? That's what he is asking for. So that is the mood of the devotee. This meditation on the lotus feet keeps him free of all contamination. One can approach the lotus feet of the Lord only if one is a Paramahamsa, not the mental speculators who speculate about the Lord. What is Prabhupada talking about? Vadanti chaitat kavayo yatarucham. Speculators may speculate, continue to speculate, but that's not the means to understand the Supreme Lord. But pure devotees, what do they see? Pashyanti. They can see. Why? Because anupashyanti, dhiya anupashyanti. So Prabhupada says anupashyanti means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Therefore they see. Such a devotee is convinced of his servitude to Krishna. So he is convinced of his servitude to Krishna. This humility leads to constant devotional service. Humility leads to constant devotional service. Where is it indicated? Well, not here in general. Trinadapi suni chayana karodi vasayishnana kirtaniya sadahari. Constant. Thus, satata yukti leads to dadami buddhi yogam tam Prabhupada says. Constant meditation leads to dadami buddhi yogam tam. That's how Prabhupada is connecting yadangri abhidhyana samadhi to dhyana pashyanti. So Prabhupada gives a very devotional explanation to this. Yadangri abhidhyana samadhi dautaya is satata yuktanam, constant worship of the Supreme Lord, and dhyana pashyanti is dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Like that. Shukadeva Goswami is not a mental speculator. Rather, he prays to the Lord, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. Please the Lord, and the Lord will reveal himself like that. Then, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking about a very not so well-known pastime. And it's very curious, you know, it arouses our curiosity. Why is he quoting this kind of a strange pastime? So he says, Prachoditayena pura sarasvati vitanvatajasya satim smritim hridi svalakshanapraduragod kilasyatah samerishi nam rishabah prasidatam. So, Shukadeva Swami is telling, Same Rishinam Rishabha Prasidatam. May the Lord, the best of the sages, be pleased with me. Yena Prachodita, once upon a time, Brahmaji forgot how to create. Doesn't happen always, sometimes it happens. And whenever it happens, it becomes a part of Bhagavatam. And many times, Krishna has various ways of revealing that memory to Brahmaji. So we saw a few ways. There is another way. Once Brahmaji forgot how to create, so the Lord sent his one of his spiritual energies called Saraswati or Vak. This is not the sometimes called the daughter, sometimes called the wife of Brahmaji. This is not that Saraswati. This is the spiritual energy of the Lord. It is mentioned that Yena Prachodita, she, the Lord through this agency of Saraswati reminded him how to create. So how did this happen? Yena Prachodita, he inspired Saraswati Devi Pura at the beginning of a particular day of Brahma when he forgot how to create. Saraswati Swalakshana, what is the nature of, what is the purpose of this particular energy of the Lord? Swalakshana. Her aim is to reveal Krishna. So he sent that energy to Brahma, to assist Brahmaji. Pradurabhut kila ajasya asyatah. Pradurabhut means she manifested. She manifested out of the mouth of Brahma. Ajasya asyatah. Vitanvata. And she revealed satim smritim, the proper memory to create, hridi, within the heart of Brahmaji, to create. So may that Lord be pleased with me. So what indirectly Shukadeva Goswami is telling, that my dear Lord, you are so powerful that you can inspire Brahmaji to create universe. So if you are powerful enough to inspire someone to create universe, you are definitely powerful enough to inspire someone to speak about that creation. So just like you inspired Brahmaji through Saraswati to create universes, please inspire me similarly to speak about that creation. Like that he is indicating. Otherwise this one particular pastime is not a very well known pastime. And one might be wondering why he is speaking this pastime here, like that. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes, all the jivas can have up to 78% of the potency of the Supreme Lord. So, 78% comes to 50 out of 64. 50 qualities. But at death, the Baddha Jeeva forgets all of this. Therefore, the Lord being Dhyampati, or the Lord of the intelligence, restores the remembrance, because memory is also a function of intelligence. Bhagavatam talks about many functions of intelligence. Samshaya Viparyasa, Samshaya Viparyasa, Swapa, like that, some five I have mentioned in that verse. Samshaya, Viparyasa, Nishchaya, Smriti and Swapa. 5. Doubt is a sign of intelligence. Ascertaining what is wrong knowledge is a sign of intelligence. Being able to discriminate, oh, this is wrong. And Nishchaya, being able to finally zero in on the right knowledge, that is also a sign of intelligence. Swapa, good sleep is also leads to intelligence. If one has not slept properly, the ability to grasp is very poor. And Smriti, remembrance, memory is one of the aspects of intelligence actually. One kind of intelligence is memory, ability to memorize. But material scientists cannot see this hand of God, just as a child cannot see the engineer behind electricity. Srila Goswami is praying here to get such an inspiration from the Lord, so that he can rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Parikshit Maharaj. So that is the purpose of his requesting the Supreme Lord for mercy. This shows that a true spiritual master is not a mental speculator like the mundane scholar, but is Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, who has perfectly heard from his spiritual master and he has realized that transcendental subject matter. Like that. Okay. Then another verse he is offering to pray for empowerment. Bhutair mahadeyai ma puro vibhu nirmaya shete yadamoshu purushah bunke gunan shodasha shodashatmakah solankrishishta bhagavan vachamsi me. This is a famous verse. His Grace Devkinandan Prabhu quotes this verse before starting every class. So I remember the first time we were studying this verse, this chapter, and at that time, long time back, Prabhuji had come to GV and he started the class by quoting this verse. So our group members, we were looking at each other, you know, wow, he's quoting this verse. Because this is a verse for directly praying for empowerment. He says, Saha alankrishishta Bhagavan vacham. He says, Bhutair mahadbir yaima puro vibhu nirmaya shete yadamushu purushah. He says, Saha alankrishishta Bhagavan vachamsi. May the Lord ornament alankrishishta my words. Nirmaya, just as he creates ima puraha, just as he creates the bodies for the living entities, Bhutair mahadbir, with the material elements, and shete, and he dwells in them. Yet amosha purusha, but as the purusha, shodasha atmakaha, he being the life of the 16 elements, bhunte shodasha gunan, he enjoys them without being contaminated. So he says that, my dear Lord, we say that bhumi rapo nalo vayu kam, all these material things are inanimate. Right? They are inanimate objects. They don't have life. The nature of body is it's dead. Where is it indicated in Bhagavad Gita? Antavantayime deha nityasyoktaha sharirinaha. Where else? Somewhere it is directly mentioned that the nature of the body is it's dead. Anyway, so the nature of all these material elements is that they are dead. Sugar is dead, salt is dead, water is dead, earth is dead. But the thing is that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is there in them also. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. Why is he there? What is the role of Paramatma? If it's anyway dead matter, we can say that to give life to to assist the living entity, give him, you know, Upadrashta, Anumanta, for all his karma and desires. The Supreme Lord is there as Paramatma. Why should he be there in dead matter? Upadrashta and Anumanta. The dead matter has no desire to fulfill. So to fulfill what desire is he there in all these things? He is there so that they can exhibit their dharma. Dharma of sugar is to be sweet. And why is sugar sweet? Because the Supreme Lord as Super Soul is there, allowing that sugar to be sweet, allowing that sugar to exhibit its dharma. Why is the salt salty? Because the Super Soul is there, allowing the salt to exhibit its dharma of being salty. So like that, the Supreme Lord is there giving life to all these elements. That's why sometimes when we say, oh, this battery is dead. Right? We say, hey, battery dead over here. So what do you mean battery is dead? Battery is already dead matter only. It has no life. So what does it mean when battery is dead? It means it's no longer able to perform its dharma of giving light, charging your cell phone or whatever it may be. So that dharma it's not able to perform, which means it is dead. So similarly, each element or each dead matter also has a particular nature or dharma, and that dharma it's able to exhibit that dharma only because the Lord and the Super Soul is present in them and allowing them to exhibit that dharma. So here, Shrimati Goswami is offering this prayer by telling that just like Lord, you are there in dead matter, but still giving them life by allowing them to exhibit their dharma. Similarly, you please be present in my words also and give it life. And may those very words ornament your glorious qualities. Solankri Shishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me. May the Lord ornament by my words by His presence in them. Like that. So this is also a verse which He is offering to praying for empowerment. Please empower me. You have empowered all the elements. That is why He is called Shodasha Atmakaha. The 16 elements that are there, He is the life of those 16 elements. Similarly, you become the life of my words also. And may those words glorify you. So like that he is praying for empowerment. What? Oh, what are the 16? Okay. I'll tell. Just hold on. So, the 16 elements are Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kam 5. Yeah, purport also Prabhupada writes. Okay, just hold on. The 16 principal creative elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, and the 11 sense organs. Mind, 5 karmendriyas, 5 gyanendriyas and 5 elements. They are the 16. And each one has a particular nature and they are acting according to that nature because the Lord is there with in them as a Super Soul and allowing them to act according to that particular nature. So to what extent our philosophy is personal? That even in dead matter, so a chemical is acting according to a particular way, even in that there is a person who is allowing it to act in that way. That is to the extent to which our understanding is personal. Literally, it's not a figurative expression. It's actually literal. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee considers himself only as an instrument. Only the godless atheists take credit for themselves. But Sukadeva Goswami is not one of them. Therefore, he is praying to be inspired by the Lord, just like he inspired Brahmaji. Also, all these Vedic scriptures are facts and not theories of mundane interpretation. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, as a humble devotee, wants to present the facts as it is, without any interpretation. This is the proper parampara system. Like that. Then finally, in the last prayer, he wants to get blessings of the best of all devotees. Who are the best of all devotees? The gopis. Just like in Bhishma Dev also, while he was offering prayers throughout, glorifying the Supreme Lord as Partha Sarathi, but at the end of it, he also prayed for, he glorified the gopis and sought their blessings. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is also going to glorify the gopis in a very unique way. Namastasmai bhagavate vasudevaya vedase papurgyanam ayam saumya yanmukam buruhasavam. So here both Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti could give two different explanations for this particular verse. He says, Namastasmai bhagavate vasudevaya. Here Vasudevaya means Vyasadev. Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vyasadev, also being an incarnation of Krishna, is addressed here as Vasudevaya. I offer my obeisances to Vyasadev. Vedase means compiler of scriptures. So Vyasadev is compiler of scriptures. That is the meaning of Vyasa. Ayam Saumya Papuhu. Ayam Saumya. Saumya means the gentle-hearted devotees. Papuhu. They drink. What do they drink? Jnanam Asavam. The nectarian beverage of transcendental knowledge. Where is it coming from? Yad Mukamburuh. That which is emanating from the lotus mouth of Vyasadeva. The gentle-hearted devotees eagerly drink. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Vyasadeva who is an incarnation of Krishna. So in that way, it is a glorification of his guru, Vyasadeva, if that meaning is taken. Second meaning, Om Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto in both cases it is Vyasadeva only. Vedase, the writer of scriptures. I think there is a small mistake here. So the second explanation is Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Vasudeva Krishna. Who is Vedase? He is also compiler of the Vedic scriptures. Vedantakrit Vedavitevachaham Krishna says. Vedase, I am Saumya Papuhu. The gentle-hearted devotees, the gopis, they drink the Jnanam Asavam. The gentle-hearted devotees drink Jnanam, yad mukambeha asavam. the nectarian beverage that emanates from the mouth of Krishna. So that is reserved for the for those in the Madhurya Ras. So the gentle-hearted gopis drink the nectarian beverage of Krishna's mouth, which is filled with knowledge. Because this is indicated by Bhishmadev. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa pranaya nirikshana kalpito rumana kritam anukritya vatya unmadanda prakritim adankilayasya gopavadva. In this verse he says that the gopis are worshipped by Krishna's expert actions, emotional displays. Attaining those qualities, they responded in harmony to his most extraordinary displays of love, blinded by that madness of love. So, they exactly knew how to respond. That knowledge of Krishna's desire, knowledge of how Krishna is going to dance. So, they never, it was, the Rasleela was not a rehearsed presentation. It was, they were so much in sync with Krishna's desires, that they would perfectly respond to every step that Krishna was, putting. So, how did they get that knowledge? That's what is indicated here. Yan mukamburuha asavam, from the nectarian beverage from the lotus mouth of Krishna, which was filled with that jnanam, that knowledge. Ayam saumyaha papuhu, that which the gentle-hearted gopis drank, which empowered them to perfectly respond to Krishna's desires. That is the other explanation. So in the first case, Vasudevaya indicates Vyasadeva. In the second case, Vasudevaya indicates Krishna himself. And Saumyaha, the gentle-hearted devotees, in the first case refers to devotees, general devotees. In the second case, it refers to more specifically the gopis. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, in pursuance of the specific utterance, Vedase, or the compiler of the system of transcendental knowledge, Srila Sridhar Swami has commented that the respectful obeisances are offered to actually Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Vasudeva. Srila Jiva Goswami has agreed to this, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a further advance, namely, that the nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna is transferred to his different consorts, and thus they learn the finer arts of music, dance, dressing, decorations, and all such things which are relished by the Lord. Such music, dance, and decorations enjoyed by the Lord are certainly not anything mundane, because the Lord is addressed in the very beginning as para or transcendental. This transcendental knowledge is unknown to the forgotten conditioned souls. Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of the Lord, thus compiled the Vedic literatures to revive the lost memory of the conditioned souls about their eternal relationship with the Lord. So, later Prabhupada says that one should therefore try to understand the Vedic scriptures as the nectar transferred by the Lord to his consorts in the conjugal humor from the lotus-like mouth of Vyasadeva or Shukadeva. By gradual development of transcendental knowledge, one can rise to the stage of transcendental arts of music and dance displayed by the Lord in his Rasalila. But without having the Vedic knowledge, one can hardly understand the transcendental nature of Lord's Rasa dance and music. The pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the Rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. That's how Prabhupada beautifully reconciles at the end of his purport. The pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of the profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the Rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. Finally, the last verse of this chapter, Itat evatma bhurajan naradaya vipuchate vedagarbho vyadat sakshat yadaha hariratmanah. O king, atma bhu, Brahma, so the prayers are over. So now he is going to respond to the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. What are the question? Please speak about primary creation and secondary creation. So in response to that, Shukadeva Goswami says, Brahma, Veda Garbha, who has filled with the Vedas, Yetat Abhyadat, he taught this knowledge, Yad Eva Aha Sakshad Hariratmanah, that which the Lord had directly spoken to him, Naradaya Vipruchate. So, once upon a time, Narada Muni approached Brahmaji, asking similar questions to what you are asking me, but to what you are, similar to what you have asked me. And in response, Brahmaji gave that knowledge which he received from the Supreme Lord during the Chatushloki. So, I will answer your questions by quoting that conversation which happened between Narada Muni and Brahmaji. So that's what is the promise given by Brahmaji, Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Okay, so we'll take a short 5-minute break and it's 11:07 right now, 11:12 we will convene back and continue with the 5th chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki. This 5th chapter. This chapter is titled The Cause of All Causes by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Vishnu Chakradago titles this chapter as Primary Creation Sarga. So once upon a time, Narada Muni approaches Brahmaji and he says, Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tadvijani Hi Adhyanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. O Deva Deva, O Lord of all Lords, Bhuta Bhavana, O Creator of all living beings, O Purvaja, O firstborn Brahmaji, Namastestu, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tadvijani Hi Adhyanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. You know that knowledge which reveals the truth about Atma and Paramatma. So, he is addressing the Lord, addressing Lord Brahma with a desire to understand some subject matter. So, he is glorifying him. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, knowledge received by service and submission is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. So, that's what Prabhupada is writing here. So, knowledge received by service and submission is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. So, then, Narada Muni is going to state his observations, and based on that observation he will express his convictions and his doubts. Observation is pratyaksha, convictions is anuman. So he will present the pratyaksha and he will present the anuman based on that pratyaksha. And he will ask Brahmaji for Shabda. Is my Pratyaksha and Anuman, is this according to Shabda Pramana or not? So that's what he is going to ask. So that's what this section is about. Narada Muni's doubts, convictions and questions. So he says, Yadrupam Yadadishtanam Yatasrishtam Idam Prabhu Yatsamstam Yatparam Yatcha Tattatvam Vadatatvataha. So Narada Muni is asking 6 questions to Brahmaji. So the 6 questions, answer to these 6 questions would be chapter number 5 and 6. So Yadrupam means what are the characteristics of this universe? What is this universe made of? Yad adishtanam, who gives shelter to this universe. Yata Srishtam, how the universe is created. These three questions will be answered in this chapter, fifth chapter. Yat Samstam, where does it merge at the time of destruction? Yat Param, who is the, what is it, what it is dependent on, or who is the ultimate controller of this whole thing, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva? And Yat Cha, what are the material components of this universe? Okay, so these are the six questions. Yadrupam, Yadadishtanam, Yadasrishtam, Yadsamstam, Yadparam, Yadcha. Yadrupam means what is the, what are the characteristics of this universe? Yadadishtanam, what is the shelter of this universe? Yata Srishtam, how the universe is created. Yat Samstam, into what does it merge at the time of dissolution. Yat Param, what is the, who is that ultimate controller, controlling personality. And Yat Cha, what are the, what is this universe actually composed of. So these six questions will be answered in the next two chapters. First three questions in this chapter, next three questions in the sixth chapter, will, it will be answered. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Narada Muni wants factual answers and not theories manufactured by fertile brains. If you know as a fact, you tell me. So where is this indicated? On what basis is Prabhupada writing this here? Can you look at the verse and tell me? Tattvataha. He says, I want as a fact. If you know it as a fact, you tell me. Tat tattvam vada tattvataha. In truth. Transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and super soul includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. So knowledge of the phenomenal world is yadrupam, yadadishtanam, yadasrishtam, yat samstam, yat param, yat cha. These are all knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. Any intelligent person can make the following observations about the material world. Prabhupada says, 3 points. Anyone, any intelligent person who sees this material world can make 3 observations. First is, the jivas are factual. Material world is factual. There is some intelligence controlling the two. Nothing happens by chance. So, any neutral person... Any neutral person, neutral and intelligent person, when he observes this universe, he can come to this conclusion. The jivas are factual, the material world is factual, and there is some intelligence which is controlling both of them. He may not know that he is a boy, he stays in Vrindavan, he is black in color, and all those details he may not know. But at least, basic this much, there is some controlling force at least. Nothing happens by chance. Once Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and some disciple came with a newspaper article and he said, Prabhupada, this year the Nobel Prize for Physics goes to this person who has discovered the, who has proposed the chance theory. So Prabhupada says, okay, what is his theory? So he says that everything happens by chance. So he mathematically he has proven it. That how everything happens by chance. Prabhupada, without missing a beat, he responds. So Prabhupada says, see this material world, everything happened by chance except his Nobel Prize. He says, why did he accept the Nobel Prize then? If everything happened by chance, then his theory also came by chance only. Why is he taking credit for it, by accepting the Nobel Prize? So he is refuting his own theory. The fact that he is accepting the Nobel Prize indicates that he is taking credit for his theory. So which means not everything happened by chance. So that was the presence of mind. When someone is very deeply convinced of a subject matter, you know, someone can immediately respond to such. On the level of heart, if someone is deeply convinced of a particular subject matter, you know, they can. And Prabhupada says, so how do we understand these subject matters about the soul, about the universe, how it's created and all? He says, Tadvidhi pranipadena pariprashnena sevaya. Approach a bona fide spiritual master, surrender unto him and serve his lotus feet and inquire submissively. You can find out. Sarvam hyetad bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu karamalaka vad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. So he says, Narada Muni says, Bhavan, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, my dear Lord, you are the master of all living entities in the past, present and future. So now he is presenting his Pratyaksha. Narada Muni is presenting his Pratyaksha. Why am I asking you all these questions? Because based on my observation, you seem to be the Lord of all living entities in the past, present and future. Sarvam hi etad veda. You know this universe. You know everything about Paramatma, Jiva and matter. Vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. So therefore you definitely must be knowing the detailed knowledge about this universe. Kara amalakavad. So this is called kara amalakanyay. Who can perfectly describe how an amla fruit looks like. That person who has it in the middle of his hand and he can look at it like that. So kara amalaka vat nyaya means a person who has personally created something or who has personally engineered something. Prabhupada gives the example of a watchmaker. So someone who has personally engineered it, he can perfectly explain how it functions. So here Narada Muni is telling you are the engineer of this universe. So you can perfectly explain how it functions. Who else can? Like that he is indicating here. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got the ingredients, how he set it up, and how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out. Because Brahma is the firstborn living entity, naturally he is supposed to know everything about creative functions. So, all of these questions that Narada Muni is asking, Brahmaji is supposed to know. And here, Narada Muni is telling that, I see that you are the master of all living entities in the past, present and future. This is my pratyaksha. So you must be able to answer these questions. Yad vijnano yad adaro yad parastam yad atmakah ekasrajasi bhutani bhutair evatma mayaya. So he says that Yet Vigyano, in my observation, I have seen that you are the source of your own knowledge. I have never seen you going and learning this knowledge from anyone. Yad Vigyano, Yad Adharo, you are your own shelter. You don't take shelter of anyone else. Yad Parastvam, you are not dependent on your subordinates to carry out this process of creation. Yad Atmakah, so you yourself create this whole cosmic manifestation. Ekah Srijasi Bhutani, without the help of any other living entities you create. Bhutair Eva, with the elements which belong to you. Atma Mayaya, and energy which is yours. You use your energy, your raw materials, without taking any help of anyone, without receiving the knowledge from anyone else. It's your own knowledge and you don't need the help of anyone else. So this is my pratyaksha. I have personally seen it. So he is presenting his pratyaksha here. Prabhupada translates this verse in a slightly different way. So Prabhupada says, my dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? So even though the question is not explicit in this verse, but it is implicit, because the question, actual question, will be asked by Brahmaji, by Narada Muni later. But sometimes we may make statements, but from the tone one can understand that there is a question hiding behind the statement that is there. Like for example, if someone says, yesterday you were in the ashram. So you were in the ashram yesterday night at 8 o'clock. That's a statement, it's not a question. But hiding behind that is, yesterday I had lost my umbrella. So I was searching for my umbrella everywhere. Where is my umbrella? Where is my umbrella? So I was asking, yesterday morning at 8 o'clock you were in ashram. So which means everyone knows uske baad kuch to question aane wala hai. So aapne to dekha hoga mera umbrella. So like that, he is making statements here. Even though the question is not explicit, but it is implied. The question is coming later. So Vishnachalaya Thakur translates it as, you are the source of your own knowledge. And all of this that Narada Muni is telling, he intends to ask, is my pratyaksha and pratyaksha based anuman right or wrong? So if that question comes later, then all these things become question. Are you the source of your knowledge? Are you your own shelter? Are you dependent on yourself or is someone else? So therefore there is no contradiction here. So Prabhupada gives it as a question. He breaks the suspense. Because very nicely Narada Muni is building up by presenting, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. It seems like that. And suddenly he drops a bomb. But here, that's what he is indicating. That you are the source of your own knowledge. You are your own shelter. You are dependent on yourself. You alone create without the help of anyone, using your own elements and your own energy. I think this connector has a problem. Okay. Anyway. And then he gives an analogy to explain this. Atman bhavaya setani naparabhavayan swayam atmashaktim avashtabhya urnanabir ivaklamaha. He says, atmashaktim avashtabhya, situated in your own energy, urnanabir iva. Urnanabi is a spider. Just like a spider creating his web, aklamah, without fatigue. You protect the living beings within yourself without being destroyed. So if you see a spider, generally the analogy of spider is given to indicate one's absolute independence and controllership. Because Brahmaji, when he approaches the Supreme Lord, he uses the same analogy of spider to address the Supreme Lord's independence. You are like a spider, he says. Spider-Man. So, he says that, what is the nature of spider? Spider uses his own saliva, raw material, to create the web. He uses his own energy. He doesn't take help from anyone else. After creating the web, he moves about in the web without getting stuck up in that web. All the other insects get stuck up. You will never see a spider trying to get out of the web like that. He very nicely maneuvers through that web and never gets stuck up. And whenever he wants, he creates. Whenever he does not want, he winds up that web. So therefore, Narada Muni is telling that, oh, you are just like that spider. You seem to be the supremely independent creator to me. So that's what he is indicating here through this example of analogy of spider. So, then he says, Naham Veda Param Hyasmin Naparam Nasamam Vibho Namarupa Guner Bhavyam Sadasat Kinchidanyataha. O Lord, Naham Veda, I do not know Kinchit Anyataha, from where else everything else can arise. Param Aparam Samam. Whatever exists in this material world, may it be inferior or superior or equal, Nama Rupa Gunair Bhavyam. Anything that has name, form, qualities, sad, asad, gross or subtle, I don't know of any other creator other than you. This is my pratyaksha. So therefore my anuman is that you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what he is indicating here. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport. In the human society, the human being is considered to be the superior living being, and amongst the human beings there are also different varieties, good, bad, equal, etc. But Narada Muni took for granted that none of them has any source of generation besides his father Brahmaji. Therefore, he wanted to know all about them from Lord Brahma. So, he is presenting his pratyaksha as Hanuman. But, yeah. This So, Narada Muni is one person. He is characterized by this one quality of doing the needful. Whatever is needed for that particular pastime, he does that. Sometimes, he instructs on these subject matters to many great personalities like Prachina Barhishad or Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj. Sometimes, he presents himself to Brahmaji as if he does not know anything about it. So in this case, because he wants to bring this out of Brahmaji's own mouth, so if Brahmaji himself presents who is the greatest personality, then that's a very powerful presentation. The Pramana is a very powerful Pramana. And he also wanted to show what is there in the heart of the devotion that is there in the heart of Brahmaji. And also he wanted to prove the fault of Pratyaksha and Anuman. How Pratyaksha and Anuman can be deceiving. He wants to prove that. Establish the supremacy of Shabda over Pratyaksha and Anuman. So therefore Narada Muni will see in many places, sometimes he will go to Kamsa and try to just irritate him, not irritate but create fear in him, so that he would do, he would try to kill all the children of Vasudeva and Devaki, because that's what is needed at that point of the pastime. Sometimes he would go and incite anger in Ravana, and Ravana would try to kill Narada Muni. So he would take a sword and try to cut Narada Muni, but the sword would just pass through Narada Muni's body. And Ravana would be like, what's this? This seems like a very... So he puts the sword down and asks, yeah, I want a body like that. Can you tell me how I can get? Just 1 minute back, he was trying to kill Narada Muni. So like that, you know, whatever is needed. And some other time, he would go to... en masse create, Hariyashwas, Shavalaswas, he would preach to them and make them renounce this material world. And he would take the curse of Daksha. Some other time he would curse Nalakuvera and Munigriva. Whatever the pastime needs, if the pastime needs to give curse, he would give. The pastime needs to take curse, he would take. If the pastime needs to be preached to, he would get preached to by Brahma. The pastime needs him to preach, he would preach. So whatever is needed, doing the needful. So Narada Muni does. Just like that's one understanding, and another understanding is just like Arjuna was. It's not that Arjuna didn't know the subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Partho vatsaha sudhir bhokta dugdam gitamritam mahat. So Arjuna was just put under that kind of an illusion so that the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita can come out. So none of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are valid for Arjuna. None of the instructions. Neither Manmanabhavamadbhakto nor Sarvadharman Parityajya, any of those lower instructions, none of those instructions are valid for Arjuna. The lower instructions are not valid because he was not at that lower level. The higher instructions are also not valid because he was already following it. So injunctions are meant for those people who don't have a natural inclination for it. They are for the sadhakas. For those who have reached the stage of perfection, you don't instruct them, they naturally follow it. So none of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita are actually meant for Arjuna, including Yatechasi Tata Kuru. So that instruction is also not for Arjuna, because anyway he is doing it, Yatechasi Tata Kuru. And what does he desire? He desires what pleases Krishna. So, therefore, in that way we have to understand that just like Krishna put Arjuna under that kind of a illusion, that illusion was created by Yogamaya and not Mahamaya. And in that illusion he asked various questions. So similarly, here Narada Muni also, for the purpose of establishing these things, allows himself to be put under such illusion. Then he says, but I have just one doubt, one pratyaksha which sort of creates some doubt in me, which is sort of opposite to whatever I have observed till now. So he says, Sabhavanacharat gloram yattapas susamahitah tena kedaya senastvam parashankam chayachasi. He says that saha yat bhavan acharah acharat gorah tapa susamahita. But sometimes I see you perform great austerities. Tena kedaya senastvam. By this you bewilder us. Parashankam cha echasi. If you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you must not be performing austerities. So whom are you trying to please by performing these austerities? So this is my only doubt. You just clarify this doubt, otherwise I am totally convinced that you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just that this one particular act of yours is slightly putting me in doubt. So just clarify this and I am totally convinced that you are the Supreme Lord. The Prabhupada writes here in the purport, one should follow Narada Muni and not accept his spiritual master blindly as God himself. No one can be God if he is worshipping another superior. The Ahangropasita worships himself to become God, but God doesn't need to worship anyone, including himself, to become God. God is God. It's a, you know, a sadhaka can become a siddha by practicing sadhana. But there is no sadhana that is available to become God. So, God is God. Like that. Etanne pruchyata sarvam sarvajna sakaleshwara vijanehiyata evedam aham buddhyenu shasitaha. O Sarvagya, O Omniscient One, Sakaleshwara, O Lord of all living entities, Vijani, please consider and tell me, Yetadne Pruchatas Sarvam, whatever I have asked you, please think about it and answer. Yata Eva Anushasitaha Aham Buddhye, so that after hearing from you, I can understand the subject matters perfectly. So please explain to me. Okay, so Prabhupada writes here, the inquiries made by Narada Muni are very important for everyone concerned, and as such Narada Muni requested Brahmaji to deem them suitable so that all others who may come in the line of disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya may also know them properly without any difficulty. Brahmaji is Sampradaya Acharya also. So if the Sampradaya Acharya presents, then that's very powerful. So now Brahmaji is going to answer these questions. So all that Brahmaji needs to do is to clarify at one point. Actually it was not austerity. I was doing this. Something like that he could have explained. See, and for Brahmaji it should not be a big thing. Whatever arguments need to be presented to establish Brahmaji as the Supreme Lord, Narada Muni has already done it. He need not do anything else. All he needs to do is to just give an explanation for why he was performing those austerities, or whether he was performing those austerities, or what was it exactly. Brahmaji is intelligence personified. For Brahmaji to give a reason is not very difficult. So what does Brahmaji do actually? How does he respond to this? So Brahmaji says, Samyakkarunikasyedam vatsate vichikitsitam yadaham chodita saumya bhagavadvirya darshane. So he says that, O saumya vatsa, O auspicious son, karunikasya, you are so merciful to me. Brahmaji is telling Narada Muni, you are so merciful to me. Te vichikitsitam samyak. Actually your doubt is very proper. यद अहम चोदितः भगवत वीर्य दर्शने इदम् बिकॉज ऑफ योर डाउट आई एम इंस्पायर्ड टू मेडिटेट अपॉन द पावर ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हु इंस्पायर्ड मी टू क्रिएट दिस यूनिवर्स. So he said, you are so merciful that through these questions, you have inspired me to meditate on my Lord. That's the first thing that he says. The first verse only indicates that there is someone superior to me. Who is that? He has not mentioned. He will mention. But he says that you are so merciful to me. Because of you, I am able to meditate on my Supreme Lord. So, here, Prabhupada is writing a beautiful purport about the basic principle of missionary activities. Prabhupada says, Brahmaji, being so questioned by Naradji, congratulated him, for it is usual for the devotees to become very enthusiastic whenever they are questioned concerning the Almighty Personality of Godhead. That is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Such discourses on the transcendental activities of the Lord purify the atmosphere in which such discussions are held, and the devotees thus become enlivened while answering such questions. It is purifying both for the questioners and for one who answers the question. Vasudeva kata prashna purushan stain punatihi vaktaram pruchakam shrutrin tatpada salilam yata. So, Vasudeva kata prashna purushan stream punatihi. Three kinds of people it purifies. Vaktaram, the speaker. Prichakam, one who asks the questions, relevant questions. And shrotrim, one who is just hearing those conversation. All three are benefited, purified. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see that the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to him. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. So in 7th canto also, Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports, there the word Atma Upamyena Sarvatra comes. One of the qualities of the devotees is that empathy. So what is this empathy? Prabhupada explains that the devotee sees that before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was so miserable. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, I have become so happy. And why should this person who is not having Krishna and therefore suffering, why should he suffer like this? Let him also get Krishna. And let him also become happy. So, Prabhupada there, he writes, this is the principle of missionary activity. You see, a devotee is able to see that this person is also suffering, just like me. Just like I was suffering so much before getting Krishna consciousness. Similarly, this person is also suffering. So, why should I let him suffer? Just like I am enjoying practicing Krishna consciousness, let him also enjoy. So that is the mode of preaching, missionary activities, sharing our joy, gratefully sharing what we have received, like that. So that's how Brahmaji starts responding to Narada Muni. What you have said is, your question is very appropriate. I like your question because I am now reminded of the progress of the Supreme Lord. I am able to meditate and it's giving me so much joy. So you are so merciful to me. I am expressing my gratitude to you. So then he says, Nandritam tava tachapi yatamam prabhavishivoho avijnaya parammatta yetavattvam yatohime. He is my dear son. Tava tachapi yatamam prabhavishi na andritam. He says that actually what you have mentioned about me is not completely false. So he says that yata avijnaya paramatta etavattam hime. So he says that because people not knowing the difference between me and the Lord say that I have that power. So let's say that I am wearing green glasses and I am telling that, oh, what is the color of this glass? Green. What is the color of this mobile phone? Green. What is the color of, let's say it's a kind of glass where I am not aware that I am wearing that green glass. Let's say it's like a, what do you call this? What lens you call? Contact lens. Let's say it's a green colored contact lens. Somehow they put me in anesthesia and put the green colored contact lens on my eyes. I wake up and I, or let's say pink colored contact lens. And I'm wondering, oh, am I in Jaipur? Pink city. Actually, Jaipur just recently went. It's not all that pink. You see all the other colors. I don't remember seeing pink anywhere. So, maybe at some places. So, but someone who has never been to Jaipur, you might be wondering, am I in Jaipur? Everything seems pink, pink, pink to me. Everything is pink here. So, Brahmaji says that, oh yes, there is an element of truth to what you are telling. It's not completely wrong. He says, if only you knew that you are wearing a pink colored contact lens, you would understand that these statements are false. But till you know that you are actually wearing a pink colored contact lens, you would definitely be convinced that everything around you is pink in color. So therefore he says, the first thing that Brahmaji says is, there is an element of truth to what you are speaking. So what is that element of truth? That people are, as long as people are wearing this contact lens of Maya, it is possible for them to take their Pratyaksha Praman so seriously. So he says that, yataha avijnaya param matta. Those people who are covered by Maya and don't know the difference between myself and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is natural for them to come to such conclusions. If people are willing to accept ordinary persons, sometimes they are just wearing some simple pant and shirt, and people are willing to accept such people as God. If that is the potency of Maya, then, you know, who amongst us would not accept Brahmaji as the Supreme Personality of God? Let's say, without Shastras. I mean, such kind of powers if someone has, you know, it's but natural for someone to accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Brahmaji says, he sympathizes with Narada Muni. He says, you know what, actually, it is not completely wrong. There is an element of truth to what you are speaking. Those people who are still covered by that Maya potency, is very natural for them to come to such improper conclusions. That's what he is telling here. So Prabhupada is writing here in the purport that material scientists trying to understand the power of Lord is like Dr. Frog trying to understand the length and breadth of the ocean. You know Dr. Frog, right? Anyone does not know Dr. Frog? Everyone knows. Materialistic people accept normal people as God or incarnations, and this may be gradually extended till Brahma. But only people who don't know about God can make such a mistake. But Narada Muni is not such an ignorant person. Why is he questioning like Dr. Frog? Why is Narada Muni asking such questions? Like, is this the length of the ocean? Is this the breadth of the ocean? Why is he asking like that? So Prabhupada writes here, the same question that Ashutosh Prabhu asked. this is the will of the Lord, just like Arjuna was put into illusion so that Bhagavad Gita could come out. This is the will of the Lord, and you are just executing the will of the Lord, doing the needful. That is the nature of Narada Muni. One cannot worship a man as God, however great he may be. For example, King Yudhishthir was as great a king as Lord Ram and a better moralist than Krishna. But that does not mean that King Yudhishthir is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a totally different identity at all times, and no idea of anthropomorphism can be applied to him. What is anthropomorphism? What is anthropology? What is anthropology? You all know. Study of human beings. So, and morphing, you know, it's, they say this is a morphed picture, photo, they say. So, anthropomorphism means extending the nature, understanding of man to be the Supreme Lord. To extend it to the Supreme Lord. To think that the most powerful human being is the Lord. That is anthropomorphism. Morphing the subject matter of absolute truth in the image of making God, creating, understanding that God is created as an image of man. That's the ulta understanding. Man is created as the image of God. But anthropomorphism is the exact opposite of that. Like that. So Brahmaji says that actually there is an element of truth to what you are speaking. When people are covered by this maya, they may tend to come to such wrong conclusions. So the right conclusion is this, he says in the next verse. Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayam yaham yatar kognar yata somo yata rikshagrahata rakaha. So he says that vishvam rochayam yaham, I create this universe. So he says that I create this universe. Yena swarochisha rochitam. The Lord has already created it, that I recreate. That which the self-manifesting Lord has created, I only recreate. This in Sanskrit is called Pishta Peshana Nyaya. Pishta means peat. What is peat? Atta. Let's say a particular machine is capable of grinding that atta to a particular kind of coarseness. If it has already been ground, what happens when you put that atta back into that same machine? No, that machine is not capable of grinding it finer. That is the maximum coarseness or fineness that it can grind. If you put that atta into the same machine, what happens? Why would it become a ball? I never said that you pour water also in that. So it would come out as it is. So Pishta Peshana Nyaya means to ground that which has already been ground. You are just wasting your energy. It's not going to become any further finer, because the machine is incapable of grinding it finer than that. So he says that my creating the universe is like grinding that which has already been ground. The Lord has already created it. It's just like, sometimes pop music singers, when they are asked to you know, give a public show. Sometimes, because they have sung it so many times, sometimes they just play the recording and they just, what do you call, lip syncing. They do that. Nothing new is being done. You know, whatever is done is already done. So, the Lord, so Brahmaji is telling, but the Lord has already created the universe. So, I just do some apparent activity and it seems like I have created it. So, one may say, okay, he has created the universe and you are recreating it. At least, okay, just hold on. Okay. Then he says that yata arkaha agnihi, yata somo, yata riksha grihata arkaha. So he says that just like he gives a very interesting understanding. Brahmaji. Brahmaji is giving this understanding. How is it that sun is able to illuminate a particular place? And how is it that sun is not able to illuminate some places? What to speak of some places? Some planets are not illuminated by the subterranean heavenly planets, or they do not get sunlight at all. How is it that sun is illuminating some places, not illuminating some places? Moon is illuminating some places, not illuminating some other places. How? What is the basis? Lord's will. Why is sun illuminating this place? Because the Lord desired. If the Lord's desire is there, even without the sun, that place would be illuminated. The sun is just incidental. Similarly, Brahmaji is telling, my presence is just incidental. The Lord has desired to create. He is Satyasankalpa. Just his desire, his Ichcha Shakti itself can carry out that creation. My presence is just incidental. Just like the sun's presence is incidental, moon's presence is incidental. The Lord has decided to illuminate that place. So whatever may be the means, that place would get illuminated. Correct. Yeah, correct. So he's basically not taking any credit for himself. So Prabhupada, so here Srila Vishnagara Thakur writes, Brahma says that actually I am very insignificant. I manifest the universe which is already manifested by the self-manifesting Lord. Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham. I am just grinding what is already been ground. Just as the sun and other luminaries reveal what is already revealed by the Lord. So what would happen if the sun is not there? That place would still be illuminated if it was the will of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, he says, Narada Muni wanted to get the verdict of the supreme authority Brahma on the matter of creation. Just as the verdict of the Supreme Court is topmost, similarly, the verdict of Brahmaji is topmost. Brahmaji also says in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. Koti Shu Asesha Vasudadi Vivuti Binnam. Like that. Yet this Yasya Prabha is the same as the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord, on which all the planets are suspended. This all-pervading Brahma Jyoti is the potential seed of all creation. Therefore, it is mentioned, Sarvam Kali Idam Brahma. And Krishna is the source of this Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, he is the cause of all causes. Like that. Okay. So then he says, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjayaya mam vadanti jagat gurum. He says that it's impossible to understand the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi. Therefore I meditate on that Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev. Yan mayaya durjayaya. Durjayaya means it's impossible to defeat maya. You see the potency of one insignificant energy of the Supreme Lord. Mahamaya is just an insignificant energy of the Supreme Lord. What is her potency? Durjayaya. She is impossible to overcome. Then what to speak of the potency of that Supreme Personality of Godhead himself? Yan mayaya durjayaya mam vadanti jagat gurum. So powerful is the potency of the Lord's maya that being covered by her, people say that I am jagat guru. Like that Brahmaji is telling. See the potency of that maya. So Prabhupada says, Brahmaji as a very responsible person doesn't like to be addressed as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some people do take pleasure in being addressed as God by their disciples who are like hogs and dogs. So Prabhupada says, why such people do this is explained in the next verse. Why? Vilajjamanaya yasya statum ikshapate muya vimohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyah. Durdiyah, the ignorant jivas, yasya vimohita, being bewildered by this maya potency. And who is this maya? Amuya ikshapate statum vilajjamanaya. Amuya, this personality of Godhead, ikshapate, on his light line of sight, sthatam, to stand, vilajjamanaya, she is very ashamed. So this Maya Devi is very ashamed to stand in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she says that the ignorant jiva is bewildered by this Maya, who is very ashamed to stand in the line of sight of the Supreme Lord. How do you identify such people who have been bewildered by Maya? Let them open their mouth. He says, Vikattante mama aham iti. They will start speaking in terms of I and mine with respect to this material body. So, here, it is mentioned that once, so he says that the symptom of a foolish person is when he starts speaking in terms of I and mine. So you can immediately identify them based on their language. So when Prahlad Maharaj was for the first time taken to Hiranyakashipu by Shandanamarka. And Hiranyakashipu asked, my dear son, what is the best thing that you have learned? So what did Prahlad Maharaj say? Tatsadumanye asuravarya dehinam sadasamudvignadiyama sadgrahat itvatmapatam grihavandakupam vanam gatoyat harimashray. Go to the forest and take shelter of Lord Hari. That is the best thing I have learnt. So, what was Hiranyakashipu's response to that? So, he just first laughed. He didn't become angry. He laughed. And he called Shandanamarka and he said, you know, you must be more careful. You must have more CCTVs. Seems like some Vaishnavas have sneaked into the ashram and contaminated my son's intellect. So make sure, you know, these Vaishnavas can come dressed in any way. So be careful. And, you know, keep him away from Asat Sangha and give your satsang to them, to my son, and soon he will change, you know, but be careful. He laughed and left. So, Shanda and Amarka knew that this time Hiranyakashipu laughed. But next time something like this happens, he will not laugh. Our heads will roll on the ground. So, even though Hiranyakashipu was very light on Prahlad Maharaj, Shanda and Amarka were very furious. When they took him to the, their Gurukul, they started chastising Prahlad Maharaj and he said, "Who is that enemy who has contaminated your mind? Who is that enemy?" "Who is that enemy who has made you so ignorant?" So, Prahlad Maharaj says, "Ignorant? Who is ignorant? You just watch your language and you will realize who is ignorant. You are speaking in terms of friends and enemies. Don't you know that a person who is self-realized does not see on the platform of dualities? He does not have, he does not see in terms of friends and enemies. Just by your language, isn't it evident that you are the one who is ignorant?" Like that, Prahlad Maharaj says. Same thing here, Brahmaji says that you just watch the language of that person who is speaking. So when he is speaking in terms of I and mine with respect to this material body, you can immediately identify that that is a symptom of being covered by Maya. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The primary symptom of a bewildered person is that he talks nonsense. And first grade nonsense talk is aham mameti." In terms of me, my country, my body, my relatives, like that. How to overcome such illusion? Mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. When one takes shelter of Krishna, then one can overcome this maya. This verse gives the identification of a bewildered person. So what is that identification? He speaks in terms of I and mine, like that. So, after explaining to Narada Muni that only because of this covering of Maya do people talk like that, and you can identify those people by watching their language. Hear what they are speaking. If they are speaking in terms of I and mine, then definitely they will come to the conclusion that, you know, some other person other than the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Personality of God, like that. So then he says, "Now I will answer your first question." What is the first question? What are the first question asked by Narada Muni of the six questions? Yad Rupam, the characteristics of this universe. So he is going to answer that question. He says, "Dravyam karma cha kalas cha swabhavo jiva eva cha vasudevat paro brahman nachanyortosti tattvatah." So he says, "My dear Narada Muni, all that you see in this material world can be categorized into these three: dravyam, karma, kala, swabhava and jiva, these five. So anything that you see in this material world is a combination of these five. May not be all five, sometimes three, two, sometimes five. But whatever you see, there is nothing that exists in this material world which is beyond these five. What are those five? Dravyam, karma, kala, swabhava, jiva. Dravya means matter. Vemirapona lovayu kammano buddhirevacha. So that matter is dravya. So you see that everywhere. Then there is karma. karma means the cause of this material world is the karma and swabhava of the jiva. A universe takes a particular shape or a particular manifestation of the universe is because of the collective desires and karma of the living entities who would populate the particular universe. So therefore sometimes a devotee asks Prabhupada, why did Krishna create this material world? So Prabhupada said, Krishna didn't create, you created this material world. So which means that the facilities that are available in a particular universe, the shape, everything is decided based on the karma and swabhava of the living entity. Karma means what he deserves. Swabhava means what he desires. So swabhava means the collection of all the impressions that a living entity has accumulated due to performing any kind of material activity. Any activity you perform, there are two results. One is a reaction for it, which is inevitable. Second is whatever may be was the experience. That experience of performing the particular activity is stored in the form of impression. Either it was a good experience or a bad experience, depending on that. Let's say you picked up some glass of some white liquid, thought it was milk and put it in your mouth. It happened to be, let's say, something like phenyl or something like that. Let's assume you also were having severe cold that day. So you could not smell it. So next time, even if you see milk, you know, you would be very careful to ensure that it is milk only before drinking. So, any activity, any material activity that one performs, the experience of performing that activity is stored in the form of impressions. And the collection of those impressions is called swabhava. And those impressions are what instigate actions by creating material desires. So, we saw in Bhattrasamrita Sindhu, avidya, bijam, papam. So, avidya are these impressions. And these impressions give rise to material desires. And being impelled by material desires, one performs material activities. So, the collection of all these material impressions is called swabhava. And every act that you perform with a fruitive mentality, it also gives rise to a reaction for it. So, pious or impious, depending on the nature of that activity. So, in this material world, you have dravya, karma, kala. Well, dravyam, karma, swabhava. And this karma and swabhava belongs to the jiva. Right? And then there is kala. So, basically, there are three things. Dravya shakti, kala shakti and jiva shakti. And belonging to the jiva shakti is karma and swabhava. Okay. So basically what Brahmaji is telling is, you asked about the characteristics of this universe. What I am telling you is, this whole universe is a manifestation of Krishna's energies. In broad, three energies. Kala shakti, jiva shakti and dravya shakti. Vasudevat paro brahman nachanyo arthosti tattvatah. O Brahmana, the elements, karma, time, swabhava and jiva are non-different from Vasudev. Non-different in the sense, shakti, shakti matayor abhedat. Because of the non-difference between shakti and shaktiman, therefore, this material world is non-different from Vasudev, being a manifestation of his energies. Nacha anyaha arthosti tattvatah, nothing but he exists in truth. That's what is indicating here. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the material world is the impersonal representation of Krishna because the five ingredients are produced by the internal and external energies of Krishna. Five ingredients. Internal energy is the energy is the jiva. Rest all is external energy. All these five ingredients are part of the Lord. Just like light, heat and smoke are part of fire. Similarly, this material world and Brahma Jyoti are his impersonal features. Whereas Krishna exists in his Sachidananda form in Goloka. In Goloka Vrindavan. Jiva. Yeah. Jiva himself is non-different from Vasudeva. Jiva Shakti is Lord Shakti only, no? So something that belongs to that Shakti is also belongs to the Master only. Like that. Okay. So then he answers the next question. Narayana Paraveda Deva Narayanangajaha Narayana Paraloka Narayana Paramakaha Narayana Paro Yogo Narayana Param Tapaha Narayana Param Jnanam Narayana Paragatihi. So he says that basically in these two verses Brahmaji is telling, whatever you see in this material world that is worthy of taking shelter, understand that Lord Narayana is the shelter of that. Narayana para Veda. If you say that the Vedas are worthy of taking shelter, understand that Lord Narayana is the shelter of the Vedas. Deva Narayana Angaja. And if you think that the demigods are worthy of taking shelter, understand that the Devatas are just mere limbs of the body of Lord Narayana. Narayana para Loka. If you think that the various planetary systems are worthy of giving shelter, understand that the Supreme Lord Narayan is the shelter of all the planets. And so on. If you think the sacrifices are yoga, austerity, knowledge, liberation, if you think any of these things are worthy of taking shelter, understand that Lord Narayana is the shelter of all of these. The word para can indicate shelter and the word para can indicate source. So, literally, the Vedas emanate from Lord Narayana's breathing. So, in that way, he is literally the source of all these things. And he is the shelter also. So shelter means, in one sense, another meaning of para, like the cause, means one meaning is literally the cause. The Vedas emanate from him. The second meaning is, the purpose of the Vedas is to describe Lord Narayan. So just like guest house is constructed. You can say, who is the cause of this guest house? It's not wrong to say that whoever sponsored or paid for that guest house, he is the cause. Or you can say, the masons and other engineers who worked to construct it, they are the cause. That's also right. Or I would say, the guests are the cause of this guest house. Because if the guests were not going to come, pay money and stay in that guest house, there would be no guest house in the first place. Right? So, the Lord is the source, cause in all these ways. He is literally the cause of the Vedas. Vedas emanate from him. At the same time, Vedescha Sarvar Ahameva Vidyo. the purpose of all the Vedas is to describe Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna. So if Krishna is not there, then there is no purpose of the Vedas. So there would be no Vedas. So in that way, in different ways you can say that Lord Narayan is the cause. So anything that you see in this material world, it's Lord Narayan. That's what he is indicating. So the second question, who is the Yad Adhishtanam, who is the shelter of this universe, is answered in these two verses. Narayana Paraveda Deva Narayanangaja Narayana Paraloka Narayana Paramaka Narayana Parayogo Narayana Paramtapaha Narayana Paramjnanam Narayana Paragatihi. Like that. Okay. So the second question has been answered. So we will end today's discussion here. So further, how many more verses are left in this chapter? 42 verses. So about 25 verses. I think we can comfortably complete this chapter and move on to the next chapter tomorrow. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. So I'll give questions for fourth chapter.